Hello and welcome to another episode of the Grafted Marriage Podcast. I am your host, Chris, and with me, as always, is the hospitable...
Courtney.
Now, I think I've used hospitable before in a past episode.
That's good.
I'm pretty sure.
I like that one.
But I'm recycling it because we've got some people coming.
Yes.
Okay, we'll call them families coming to town.
To visit.
And so we've had to be hospitable and get ready and... like create guest facilities where there were none. So like, you know, a lot of our, like we have a little office that I work out of and that's turned into a guest room and
the studio
where we record this and other things, that's turned into a bedroom. So
Pretty cool.
So thank you for doing that. It's nice.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
It's nice when you, I'm sure for them when they get here to
have
a nice place to come to. So good job. All right. So after the last couple of episodes, so we're in the midst of sort of an archaeological survey of our marriage and going back and looking at the last 20-ish years time and sort of broken into sections. And we've been through the ringer. We, you know, got married and that was just crazy times. And that was sort of the start of the, you know, imagine you start a roller coaster at the very top of the hill, and as soon as you get married, you just, you know, we just sort of
went
all the way down.
I like that.
And that was sort of the first two episodes was the
crash and burning.
Yeah. Well, we didn't crash. I think we just kind of got to the bottom of where, of, you know, how
I think you
there.
Said last time it was like we didn't quite crash, but we were like nosediving. And are we going to pull up?
That's right. That's the mystery. That's like the cliffhanger, right? Yeah. And so. This episode is the healing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, lo and behold, we did pull up.
We're still here.
And so let's start talking about, what happened, after we kind of got to the bottom and into all the madness.
Yeah. And you were saying, how it kind of went from separate desires.
Well, so as we've gone through each episode, we kind of covered what each of us was after, what was motivating us in each of those phases.
Yeah.
And for me, a lot of it across those first two was all about sort of autonomy, trying to,
achieving,
you know, create my family, establish our thing, you know, still manage to keep my own independence and autonomy as well. And you sort of off looking for acceptance,
approval and activity,
and so I think this is the first time where we start to have a shared common motivator or vision for what we're doing.
Because wouldn't you say? I mean, we kind of wouldn't you say through all of that, almost not making it, we realized just you gotta come together if you're gonna fight. You gotta fight. For a common thing, if you're gonna stay,
yeah, it's like
in
that
one
thing.
It's like unity.
Like they talk about, it's like there's like the triangle, and I'm on one corner, and you're on the other corner, and God's at the top. And so, like the
As
more that
closer.
We can make our goals and motivators God, the more we're gonna come closer and closer together. And I think it was at this point that we shifted our priority from ourselves to starting to think about how the priority could be, you know, should be Jesus, right? So we had gone through. We'd been at Mars Hill. We were getting a lot of, you know, Driscoll teaching, which, you know, regardless of what happened at the church and, you know, whatever, from a sort of a, I guess I'd call it more of a pastoral perspective, from a teaching perspective, like we grew so much through that time in terms of understanding who we are and who we are in context of God and, that were kind of really the big problem here. And it wasn't just Driscoll, sort of the, he opened the gateway to a whole bunch of other people. Cause he would bring people and there's sort of a crew that Mark would interact with and that would do things together
at
the time.
It's
so like Francis Chan and, Paul Tripp, right? So a lot of what we embrace was, you know, kind of Paul Tripp's, you know, sort of perspective on the heart and the fact that, you know, kind of we're the problem in all of this mess of things.
Yeah.
And so as we started to turn and realize that we're the problem.
Well, admitting and these also, things you said, like the admitting that you were a ton, I was a approval, like admitting these things.
I also feel like our parenting and kind of because we parented kind of very much so according to Paul Tripp's
parenting.
And so I feel like that taught us a ridiculous amount as we sort of went through the exercise of teaching the kids about their heart. It really made us go like, oh, crap, look at my heart.
The Holy Spirit did massive work through our parenting.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on with your heart? Because why we didn't want to be hypocritical, right? Right,
when you see them do something, you're like, oh, man, God probably looking at me like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm kind of acting like that in my own way, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that was really great. And also at the time, you know, we every night we've got like kind of a traditional thing that we do as a family. We're all together every night. We're praying, we're reading the Bible or whatever. But when their kids were little, we used to have the Jesus Storybook Bible, which is if you have little kids, you got to get that. And you gotta read it, and then you gotta read it to your kids, and we would read it to our kids every night. We did that for like
years. Yeah.
And it is really the most amazing articulation of kind of the Jesus story, and it really helps you understand. And so you just read all that. That's reinforcing all of it. And so I think we really started to get it. We really started to understand that we are sort of individually the problem. And so rather than seeking, you know, autonomy or
approval
or whatever, why don't we instead realize that we need to stop seeking ourselves and start seeking Jesus. And and so that's what we started to really focus on doing. We started to try to get outside of ourselves.
And don't you think too, we listen to our kids because that childlike faith inside of them, the wisdom that they had from the Holy Spirit, we would be like, oh, wow.
Yeah, crazy things would come out of their mouths.
Yeah,
right.
And the way they obeyed so just easily.
Yeah. Yep.
So yeah, the healing is what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
But the what we wrote down for what we were seeking now was the coming together thing was accountability and being alive in Christ.
Yep.
Because I was sticking with like the A's for this part, just like thinking about that. But we also had a lot of hardship through that time, some abandonment by parents, churches crumbling.
Because that fell apart during that period of time.
Yep,
and then we went to a smaller Presbyterian church, and then they started to embrace some things that didn't align with what we saw in the Bible, and so we kind of cycled through a few different. Like we were at other mega church there for a little while, and I don't think we land at back at Hutch's at church at Antioch post Hutch until into the next phase, right?
Yeah, I think that was 15.
Yeah. So we went through.
Hutch passed away during that time, which he was the one who taught us to really make our faith our own and not our parents' faith. Like that was awesome, and then Driscoll's church fell apart, which was so sad. Mm-hmm. And there was so much persecution, so much misunderstanding in our city.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Yeah, so it's interesting. So while we're going through this period of time where we're actually getting our stuff together and we're focusing on the right thing, kind of the organized structure of how you would do that, like, was falling apart around us. And in the city of Seattle or in the region there, that was pretty much like happening everywhere. Churches were just kind of falling apart. Like the ones that had grown large things, scandals were happening and, you know, lots of different conflicts around what's okay, what's not okay. And so we ended up starting to just kind of like, we moved around.
But then we pieced it back together. Like we watched a ton of Francis Chan.
Yeah, sure. We would watch
and
a lot of
what was
our
the
content.
Two pastors out of Oregon. We did Tim Keller and then we did the Bible Project guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. I just blinked out.
Yep.
Sorry.
It's okay.
People are probably going, right? It's like,
they're screaming it at the radio.
But we found some really good teaching still through the process of that. And having to leave a church, when one crumbles, that's one thing, and you keep some friends from that, or you try to, you know, there's a couple of people we still talk to. But when you have to leave because it's unbiblical, that's a whole other ballgame. Because you have lost all the relationships that you were doing Bible study with, that your kids were playing with their kids every day, all this stuff. And then when you highlight, that's not what the Bible says, you are just ousted. So for two times we got pummeled and then my parents abandoned us. Yeah. And it was just like, okay, Jesus, like you aren't that church. You aren't these people. Like we see Jesus in people, but the people aren't Jesus.
Yeah.
And so we have to keep going back to him. We can't be hinging. And I'm sure Driscoll would even say this, like, we can't hinge everything on every word he says. Mm-hmm. We have to hinge everything on what Jesus says. And mm-hmm. if we like anything about him, it's the Jesus in him. Right. So it's like, I don't know. It's really important. I think during that time we had to realize a lot of things that Christ has to come first,
yep.
not the church, not like this. Right.
Yep. And so one thing we realized during this time, which I think was also about the Jesus has to come first part, was that we went on a vacation, and during the vacation, I think we stayed for two weeks, in a timeshare, and it was, you know, like 1,000 square foot, 1,100 square foot. Our house at the time was probably 2,400 square feet.
Oh yeah.
Like
I know where you're going. I'm like, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And so we're down there and I yeah. kind of look around. I go, man, we're living in 1,100 square feet and we're doing pretty good. This isn't so bad. We don't really like our house. Maybe we should sell our house because yeah. the market's starting to turn around, and then we'll just rent a townhouse, like something 1,100 square feet.
Yeah,
which seemed crazy.
People thought that, and people think a lot of things of you when you.
Well,
make
we were
decisions.
Living. We were living in a very expensive market, and by doing that, it would allow us to retain more and.
And pay off our cars.
And that was good.
Because,
like,
stuff,
really,
yeah.
Little economics lesson here, you know, it's not just how much money you make, it's how much money you have to spend. And
right.
you want to try to keep as much as you can. And so, you didn't like the house and
or the neighborhood, really.
You know, and so the market kind of started to turn around, and this is after where it was in the dumps for quite a while, and then it started to pop back up again, and we could actually, you know, do something crazy, like turn a little profit. And
the idea of renting for me meant, and I didn't even know at the time we were going to move, but it was like, maybe this will help us leave here. I want no strings attached to this place because I so disliked it.
Well, and I think that's what God was doing too at the time, is that was the beginning of sort of unplugging us mm-hmm. from mm-hmm. a bunch of the things there to get us ready to ultimately move on, even though that was years.
Yeah,
so down the road.
And we rented, I think our kids at the time were 7 and 9, and we decided to rent a townhouse, but we had a pool for the summer, which was woohoo. And we were able to meet some really great neighbors.
Yeah, it was
really
fantastic.
Really great neighbors.
It was actually, it was awesome. Yeah.
It was the best neighbors we had.
Yeah, I think we had some pretty great neighbors in the house too. But when we got to it was just like a different group of people.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
And
I
got to hold a lot of babies.
A lot of babies. And we had a pool.
Mm-hmm.
So we sort of viewed it as kind of like, it was like a retirement home for like young people.
<That's right. laughs>
That was the way we were looking at it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was a lot of fun, and it totally was like, I was no less happy in that, the townhouse than I was living in the house.
More happy because we didn't have to fix anything.
We could retain more. We could retain more.
You could leave at any moment.
Yeah.
Like
it was pretty great.
It was so great.
It was wonderful. Yeah.
Yep.
And so I think that, you know, that was also kind of a transition that we went through at the time that I think started to allow us to kind of purge some of the things from the past, kind of move on and start to imagine a different future, where we're more unified, closer together. I guess kind of I don't know if it's a metaphor, an analogy, whatever, but the house going from where we were size-wise down,
mm-hmm.
Brought us physically
closer
together. Mm-hmm. So as a family, we were just
yep.
kind of really in it together.
Yep.
You know.
And you had talked about too, even using alcohol, the other one, like you've not drank anything in over 10 years now. Like,
has it been that long?
Huh? It's been a very long time. 10 or maybe 12. I think 10 years.
Wow.
And so that all of those quits of the hiding, I think maybe
mm-hmm.
behind, I was hiding behind things. You were hiding behind things and saying, we're not going to do those things. And now we're going to come even closer together. We're going to live like on top of each other.
Yeah.
And we got rid of like a third of our stuff. It was just a cleansing mm-hmm. time. And so, yeah, it was really funny though. It is funny how God does things sometimes, because having all of that abandonment, but yet, like you said, he was accelerating us to get closer to him. And then we were able to start, because our marriage was coming back together and everything, about I guess it was maybe 5 years after, like, oh no, maybe 3 or 4 years after things were doing so much better, we started doing some newly married stuff.
That's right. Because I think marriages matter.
Yep.
That's why we do this.
That's why we do this.
Because I think it's foundational to society. It's foundational to culture. It's everything.
Yeah.
We have to be solid as a couple, and then we've got to disciple our children and grow them in the Lord so that we can pass on the amazing knowledge that we have and the amazing peace that we have that comes from the relationship that we have with Jesus.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're doing. And so we were able to start doing that. So we started having a newly married
Bible group, studies.
Yeah, Bible studies. And again, that's, you know, the more that you can serve and the more that you can, you know, kind of get engaged in Bible, I mean, it just reinforces what you're doing. For us, talking about marriage every single week, talking about all the crazy crap that we have been through or that we continue to do. I mean, we would be very transparent week in, week out.
And well, because we wanted to get help them.
Yeah, and I think
that
people that attended were also very transparent, and we were able to, I hope, help them talk through things or at least give, you know, it's like a group, you know, opportunity for people to share what
and we really
through.
Grew close to some of those couples. They've become very close friends because it's, and a lot of times we've had a harder time meeting with people that are, you know, our age or a little bit older, because it can be, I don't want to say anything negative, but it's harder sometimes. And then when you meet younger people who are so on fire for the Lord and just want to do it His way, it's so energizing to your faith. Just like, I want to do more of that. I want to serve more. I want to do more with Jesus. Like, I want to, you know, and you get extremely fired up when you're around people who are fired up for the Lord.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's, and we also broke off a lot of, we had to have a lot of boundaries with some people that weren't healthy for us. And a lot of it was because of example.
Yeah.
Like, you know, be careful of the company you keep. Yeah. Like, be an example unto one another. So it's like, I didn't have that.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it's really good. I want to say one more time that it's like heavy on my heart today because I'm reading through the Word again about women not teaching men. And Chris and I have had this ongoing for a while for our marriage ministry stuff. And he's laughing at me, but it's true because it's important to me.
I'm shaking my head.
I am here only to speak to the women. Like, I'd be in sin if I was trying to teach men. And so I'm here to be supportive and to call women to encourage. The Word is encourage. Encourage you women to stay home with your children. Homeschool your kids. Enjoy that time. It is so awesome. It is so awesome, and it is so hard, but it is so awesome.
You never get that time back.
And you will, and you will never regret it. You just won't. I mean, you will learn. They will learn. You grow together. You can read the Word together.
It's worth the investment of that
I don't
time.
Even know how to say it, because I wasn't going to be one of those women who was going to be, you should only homeschool. No, things are different, and they're right for each other. Okay, yes, pray what God wants, but I'm just looking just at the Word of God, and I'm seeing that God very clearly says, stay at home with your kids, you know, if you can. And if you have to move into an apartment to do that, ladies, move into the apartment to do that. You don't need the fancy
house. We've proven you can do it.
Yeah, and it's okay. Like, don't feel like, women out there, just don't feel like you have to keep up with everybody around you, with your clothes or your Pinterest or your, just, they're looking at you. They're watching and waiting to see what you are going to do.
Yeah.
And do they want to, and can they walk in the footsteps that you're walking in front of them with? And, you know, Grace Driscoll, I think, I can't remember when it was, but she's talking about how she would walk a little slower for her 5 kids because their legs weren't as long, so that she could communicate with them, so she could be beside them and holding their hand. It's like, that is beautiful. So as women, let's stop putting on each other that we need to be CEOs, because come on, we don't need to be. And let's do the most important thing that you could ever do, is to be home with your husband, to uplift him, to encourage him to do the work he needs to do at the city gates, and to be home with your kids and to love on them. And then when they grow up, go do whatever you wanted to do. You're going to be young, you know? So just go do it then. But don't make them pay because of our lack of insecurity. And I would say that
lack of security.
Yeah. And I'm saying,
because
the feeling of insecurity. Yeah. Because during this time too that we're talking about right now was the time we decided to homeschool our kids. And I'm gonna straight up say the day I pulled them out of school, I was like, what? Oh my gosh. And all the books started arriving and I was like, what do I do with this? I didn't even graduate college. Like, I don't know what to do. But slowly God just did it. He would bring like a verse of the day would align with what we were studying. And he was just doing it over and over. And then he put us in touch with this Logos Christian Academy out of Idaho. And so that's an online school that we used starting in seventh grade to help us. And he just put it together, and the co-ops and the women there and the mentorship, and he just did it all. And so if we're willing to, as women, be open to the idea that God's way is better than the world's way, then he's going to provide that. And my friend Adair would always say, she's like, you know, a lot of people won't homeschool because they say they can't afford it. But really, it's because they're trying to keep up in all these other areas. So they say they don't think that they can stay home.
It's about money
priority. Yeah, but it's a choice. And I'm not saying every family, you know your situation, but I'm saying before the Lord, if you can stay home with your kids, it is so fulfilling. It is so awesome. And I know that's being taken from us one day at a time by the feminist agenda, but don't listen to that, because they're just hurting women who are upset and they need love and they need a hug. They don't know what they're doing. And so let's move past all the BS and let's move towards our children and our families and make that the most important priority of our lives, because it changes everything.
All right.
Changes everything. And if you need any help with it, homeschooling, just email.
Reach out.
We're here.
We got the page.
We're here.
The Grafted Marriage page. Yeah. We've got the group.
And it's okay.
Hello@grafted.co.
Yep.
Send us an email. Yep. Happy to talk.
God is good.
Indeed. For sure. All right. So we're coming out. We're digging out. We're making progress. And next up is what?
The rebuilding.
Man alive. That sounds exciting. The rebuilding. Yeah. That sounds like then there's going to be like a whole bunch of sequels afterward.
Well, gosh, let's hope so.
Yeah.
But I think the last one we did with the fight was so hard to remember those things that for like a week now I've been like, can we just do the healing one? Because this is really hard. Because it sits on you.
Sure.
You know, and you're like, gosh, that was really hard.
Yeah.
You know, but God is really good.
God is good and things are getting better. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, we should pray. You want me to pray?
Sure.
All right. Lord God, we thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for the chance to go through and just kind of re-examine our marriage and talk through it and think about it and think about our future. I pray for all the marriages out there. I pray that you would protect them, that you would help them to grow in you. I pray that everyone listening would seek you in their personal lives. Mm-hmm. Seek you in their married lives, seek you in their family lives, and seek you in all things. I just thank you for them, and I just pray that you would be with us all. Keep us safe, healthy, and well in these crazy, crazy times. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen.
All right, well, I'm excited for next time, because that's...
Well, this is the dot, dot, the next time is the dot, 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 right?
Yeah,
it's like right now.
Dude,
so
cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we hope that you'll stick with us. If you haven't subscribed, please do that. Then you'll know when the
rebuilding comes.
The rebuilding comes out. Like, you'll know right away. It'll be like, boom, it's there. It's on your phone or whatever. Yeah. Courtney loves it, by the way, when I do that.
Mm.
Yeah. When I say things that are like that, like share us with your friends. Hates it. Doesn't like any of that. No. So I'm going to stop now. But we hope that you won't stop listening and continuing with us as we keep
chasing
truth. See ya.
See ya.